Is it on now?
There we go.
All right. Some of you are going, oh, no, not this guy again. And I understand that and appreciate it. But I love being here. Love you guys. Appreciate you. It is a joy. But I do, at least during your prayer time, I would ask Drew and those of you that do the concerted prayer time at the beginning, if you would add to your prayer time the other pastorless churches that are in our state right now. There are several, not as many as sometimes, but there are. And last week I was up in Yampa, Colorado. Beautiful area, drove up to Oak Creek to spend the night. That was the only motel room that was available, and Saturday night, and driving into the motel, you're driving into on the road with sides that are this high in snow. It is still cold and snowy up there. Spoke with a friend of mine in the church up there this week, and he said, this was Saturday morning, and I said, how's things going? And he said, man, I'm telling you, the snow is blowing 30 miles an hour and coming down in sheets. So that's something else you have to deal with in some of the areas of Colorado. And you can imagine, or maybe you have a hard time imagining, but if you're just a part-time pastor, a bivocational pastor, and going into a place like that, taking your family into a place like that, it is difficult. I had another supply preacher going into Leadville today. They are not without a pastor, but their pastor had his knee replaced and wasn't able to get up and preach this Sunday, but hopefully we'll be back in the pulpit again next Sunday. But again, you know, deep snow, lots of cold, and it holds on for a long time up there. And so if you would really lift up a lot of our churches around Colorado that are right now without pastors in the same situation that you are, and you know, it'd be better if you didn't have to put up with guys like Charles and me, but and had, you know, your own pastor here all the time would be a really good deal. But there are churches out there that need the same thing that you do. And if you would continue to lift them up in prayer, I would appreciate that. And by the way, I tell them the same thing about you. 2 weeks ago, I was at the executive board meeting in Denver, and that was part of my report to the executive board, and we stopped and prayed for Celebration Church. So it is important to lift each other up for encouragement during these times of that could be not as good as other times. You guys are doing well. You're maintaining and growing, and I think that's fabulous. Some of our churches are just not that way right now. So that's all important. The other thing that I thought about this morning was that I started a series on the Word of God. Does anybody remember that? Like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And it's hard to maintain a series if you're jumping every other week. But I'm going to continue on with that today. I have really enjoyed going back and reviewing and restudying a lot of this, and it's been really good for me. I wish that every church was ready for this, and they're not, because it'd make it easier for me to prepare sermons on a weekly basis, just preach the same thing for a month. But as we begin this morning, as we were singing, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, I was again reminded that we don't sing Bible, the Messiah. Bible above all names. Amen? What we sing is Jesus, Messiah, name above all names. The Word of God. This that we call the Bible and the Scriptures is our ultimate guiding light. And we point to it in our daily living, in our decision making. But we can look at it in two different avenues. One being an intellectual exercise of trying to understand the Bible to understand religion. Or even proof text, an idea or philosophy that we want to force on others, even gently. I think all of you have been there. Know what I'm talking about. The second way is supernaturally and spiritually. Desiring to know God's Word because it is just that. It is God's Word. One of the things that I started with 3 weeks ago or whenever it was that when God spoke, it had universe-changing authority. When God speaks, it has universe-changing authority. Do you remember the word that I used? Bara. Remember we practiced that together. Bara. And it is unique only to God. Man cannot bara. In the beginning, God created. God bara. Everything from nothing. Woo! And he did it this way. Listen. And then God said, no abracadabra. No hocus pocus, no weirdy stuff going on. God said, isn't that what your scriptures say? All the way through the first part, the first chapter in Genesis, over and over and over again, It says, "And then God said." The first one I want to read to you, because I'm going to refer to it a little bit later on, but it's in verse 3, chapter 1 of the book of Genesis. And it says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Period. Now remember, this is way before sun, way before moon, way before candles. He just said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Don't know what that looks like. But there was light. In verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, 20, 24, and 29, it says, "Then God said." That is the word of God. There is no other. There is no other way. There is no other opportunity. There is no other world. God created everything that is created and has been created and ever will be created. Nobody, no other human-made, human-thought-up God can create, can bara. Only God. Week 2. Maybe I should rephrase that. In the second week that I was here, week 2 sounds like I'm going downhill. I'm weak too. So in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we talked about, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We looked at how the word of God is the only basis for faith. Y'all hear that? The Word of God is the only basis for faith. Let me read that in context here. This is Romans 10, verses 16 through 18. "However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they?" What does your Bible say? "Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." So faith comes from the obedient hearing of the Word of God in Christ Jesus. In Hebrews 11:3, it says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the," what? "Word of God." So what is seen is not made out of things which are visible. In Hebrews 11:8, "By faith, Abram, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for inheritance, and he went out, look, not knowing where he was going." We don't like that.
We like to have all of our ducks in a row before we step out, amen? We like to know exactly where we're going, what's going to happen, how we're going to get there, what's going to happen when we get there, how much we're going to make, what the job description is, all of that. Amen? Abraham had a better idea. God said, go. Abraham went. God said, build. Noah built. There is a pattern. God said, go to war, and David took a slingshot and settled a long-standing standoff. God said, we do. Amen? Today, I threw out a thought for you at the end of my last sermon, and that was fact, faith, and feeling. Do you remember that? We believe that God's word is fact. We base our faith on the fact of God's word, no matter how we feel. Don't like that either, do we? It's easier to say, well, I don't feel led to do that. Don't ever say that to me. Because it takes me about a half an hour to walk you out of that. Because it is so ungodly. It is so unscriptural. There is no place in the Word where it talks about feeling led or not. But it is the easiest way for us. It's how I feel at any given time, whether it's based on God's word or not. Scary, isn't it? And God will never do his deepest work in your shallowest area of your mind, and that is your feelings. How many of you feel different from day to day? You get up in the morning and you're feeling kind of, wow, I can do anything today. And by the evening you're going, oh man, I can't do anything tonight. Amen? The older I get, the more that happens. It is so important for us to never base godly decisions on feelings, but only on the Word of God. Now, are feelings important? Absolutely, or else God wouldn't have given them to us. But it is never to base spiritual decisions on feelings, only on faith in God's word directed at me. 10-4 rubber ducky? That's kind of another way to say amen. Okay. Now I want us to look at the creation story from a little bit of a different angle. We're going to camp today in John chapter 1, if you want to turn to John chapter 1 in your Bibles. Before we delve into the text, I want us to look at the author, John. John the disciple. John the apostle. John the evangelist. No matter his role, as we see it in history, want us to have a look at John. John is the son of Zebedee and Salome. He's just another cousin of Jesus, but he is the author of 4 of the 27 books in the New Testament. He's also relatively unschooled and uneducated. Some would say illiterate. And he might have been. Most people were in that day and time. But his writings hold some of the most in-depth insights into who God is. That it causes us to stop and think, how did this uneducated fisherman, blue-collar worker, receive such insight? And folks, I do not demean anything, but John did not have this. How did John receive the insights? And I want to begin, and I want you to think with me here, reading out of John chapter 1, the first 5 verses. John may have heard the reading of the Torah in synagogue. In all probability did. I don't know whether that influenced his beginning right here. It could have. But listen to what he writes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, not it, he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Remember verse 3. Chapter 1 of Genesis. And God said, let there be And John says, the light shines in the darkness. That is the darkness of human existence, the darkness of spirituality, the darkness of worldly living. And if you don't think the world is dark and operating in darkness, you have your head buried someplace it probably shouldn't be. I mean, just a cursory reading of the newspaper will let you know that this world operates in darkness. And John says that God came as light into that darkness. He shone bright. He wants to light the way. And yet the darkness doesn't even comprehend it. And what do we normally do as human beings if we don't comprehend, if we don't understand something? We shrink away from it, don't we? Whoa! That's pretty scary. What is that? Can you, how many of you have ever been in like Carlsbad Caverns or someplace like that, and you get way down there and then they shut off the lights? And you're going, and there's nothing. There is nothing. Think about if you had lived, and not, you have to kind of use your sanctified imaginations here. Think about if you had lived 30 years in darkness like that, and that's all that you knew. And somebody said, brother, you can have light. And you're going, I don't even know what that is. Light, so you can see. See what? Light, so that you can walk without stumbling. I don't know what light is. And that person said to you, let me show you. Let me bring Jesus in to be your light. That's what he's saying right here. We are so walking around in darkness. We are so stumbling through life as human beings. And he says right here, but God sent light. Amen? You don't need to be stumbling around anymore. God sent light. And if you're stumbling around in darkness, it's your fault. Not his. And if you've got family members, if you've got neighbors, if you've got people that you know that are wandering around in darkness, stumbling through life, would you not bring them a candle? Would you not bring them a flashlight? Would you not bring them a lantern? And if they were really close to you and you really loved them, wouldn't you bring them a halogen light? And even past that, would you not bring Jesus to those folks? So the thing that blows my mind, how did an uneducated fisherman, probably about 70 years old, have this kind of insight into who God really is? And the only way I can say is to go back to Genesis and chapter 1. And God said, John, this is truth. Write it down. He did not write this book, this letter for you and I. He had no idea you and I would ever exist. Amen? In his farthest imaginings, he was writing encouragement to the small churches around Asia and Asia Minor in that period in time. Probably writing from Ephesus. He was probably around 70, 75 years old now. He's just pouring his heart out. And yet, man, we look at that and we go, wow! How does that happen? It happens only through a word from God. Period. Amen? Now we have, and I am thankful that we have this written, revealed Word of God. You all hear me say that? But there are so many that are preaching and teaching untruth and proof texting it out of what we know as the Bible. That's not what it's for. Amen? It is to read and allow God to interpret to us His Word so that I can get done with Bible study. We can get done with a worship service. And we can know that God's Holy Spirit, living and resident in us, did a work through, and God said. I want to know, when I come to a worship event like this, I want to know that the pastor, that the preacher has a word from God. But more than that, Janice and I have a devotion time every morning, and every Sunday morning, the one thing that we pray for is that God will speak. Not through me only, but God will speak to you. Doesn't work otherwise. Otherwise, I'm teaching a seminary class or Bible school. But we want God to speak to you. I think I've shared with you before, and it probably won't be the last time, but there's been a lot of times when I've gotten done with a sermon and I've walked to the back of a church and I've kind of gone, oh man, God, I'm sorry. That was so bad. I really blew that one. Bummer. And invariably, somebody will come out and go, oh, Brother Steve, we got ghosted today, didn't we? I used to have a deacon that did that. But somebody will come out and say, man, God touched my heart. I've never heard it like that before. And all I can do as I'm walking out to my truck is say, thank you, Jesus. Because that's all it is. It isn't because I'm a great preacher. You know better than that. It isn't because I'm a great scholar. You already know better than that. It is only because God speaks to the hearts of men. In the beginning was the Word. Jump with me down to chapter 1, verse 14 of John. And it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then just a few chapters over in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that He what? That He gave His only begotten Son. The Word is the only begotten Son of God. Isn't that what it tells us? Over and over and over again. There is no mistaking that. Jesus is the Word. The Word was with God. The Word is God. Isn't that what it told us? First verse, chapter 1. Absolutely. And He was in the beginning with God. And then it goes on to tell us that that same Jesus resides in us. Amen? We talk to people about accepting Christ into our lives. But we also talk about the Holy Spirit being resident in our lives. Amen? That sounds like it might get pretty crowded. Unless they are one and the same. Unless God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. That's the only way it works. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches us. John 1, verse 9. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came into his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but we are born of God. God said, "Let there be light." In John chapter 8, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, and I love this, "I am the light of the world." Boom. Do you think he's causing confusion here? I mean, where we're going, well, I wonder who he is. I don't think so. It's all written down for us. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light for life. He is the true light. He is the light of the world. He is the light not hidden under a bushel. He is the light set on a hill. The Word and the light are one. And if we go on to think about the Word of God being this written, revealed Word of God, we appreciate so much today, then we also see that many are reading and hearing in darkness. But when light is shed, we all see the true Word of God in all of not its glory, but his glory. And then, as Charles Gabriel said, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean." And then, in the words of Bart Millard, "I can only imagine, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel?" You know the song. This that we call the Word of God is so extremely important to us. But we don't worship this. We worship Him. And we can never lose sight of that. Folks, for generations upon generations upon generations, the average person never knew that this existed. They did not have this to look at. They did not have this to invite somebody over to their home and say, "Why don't you come over for Bible study tonight?" This did not exist. Even few of the religious leaders for probably 1,700 years did not have what you and I take for granted today. All during the Middle Ages, 1100 to 1500, the Roman era, even before that, 400 to 1100, nobody had this book in their house. And yet, God continued to raise up His church. God continued to expand His church. God continued to do a work in people's lives that was so supernatural, so miraculous. And we forget. It's not about this. This always points to Him. There is no other way. It wasn't until the 1450s that the Gutenberg Press started printing the Bible. And then it only started printing parts. And I don't know whether you know this or not, but the Gutenberg Press in all of its time only did 180 Bibles. That was it. All that they had was hand-copied, handed from place to place, if they had anything. And even at that, there were no public schools. Most people, up until the mid-1800s, and maybe until the late 1800s, were illiterate. I love listening or reading Zane Grey. And because he's a lot closer. I like Louis L'Amour, but Zane Grey was a lot closer in time to the actual 1850s, 1880s, that time frame when we think about the Western migration in the cattle times and all like that, and cowboys and all. And most of the cowboys, most of the people in the Civil War were illiterate. If they knew anything about reading or writing, it was something that their mother taught them, maybe out of a Bible. Maybe. Or maybe out of some piece of a Bible. We are so blessed. As I went to bed last night, I looked on my bookshelf, and just sitting right there were about six or seven copies of God's Word. I probably have 20 or 30 altogether. And they didn't have one. And yet, God, when He spoke, had universe-changing authority. And people's lives, whether they knew all about this or not, were changed. Now, I want you to make sure that you hear me well. I love this. Y'all hear me say that? I am so thankful that we have the written, revealed Word of God that we can go to, and it brings comfort to our hearts. It brings answers to our decision making. But it is God working in our heart through His Word that does it. Because there are a lot of people that read this and then don't tell the truth about it. Amen? It is God's Holy Spirit making a change in our lives through what we read, through what we study. Through God speaking to our minds in our prayer time, through God speaking through a trusted spiritual friend and mentor. That's the way He's always done it. Why would He change now? In the 21st century and begin to work through feeling. And I don't think He has. I don't think He's made that change. I think we have started to make that change. And I'm asking you to caution yourselves and seek a word from God, not based on how you feel in decision making. Again, are feelings appropriate? Absolutely. But are they decision-making criteria? No. Only a word from God is decision-making criteria. God is good. God is so powerful that He can take an uneducated, hard-working, synagogue-attending good guy, John, and have him write down universe-changing thoughts. There is no other way that that could happen. That's the God that resides in you and I. Let's trust Him in what He wants to do in our lives today. And if you don't have that trust, if you're going, well, maybe I do, maybe I don't, I'm really not sure. Man, see me before you leave today, and let's get it settled. Let's get it nailed down. Because once it's there, it's there. Because the Bible tells us He gives eternal life. Amen? It doesn't start at death. It starts right now. So let's take care of it. And if you're kind of going, I don't want to go up and talk to the preacher, you know, I don't want anybody to see me up there talking with that guy. Come up and I'll give you a card. Meet me at the back door, I'll give you a card. You can call me. I'll buy you lunch. I'll buy you coffee. Whatever it takes. So that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Word resides in you in the person of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Let's bow as we pray together. God, I think we're agreed here today that we don't understand. We just don't understand how you do this. But we are so thankful that you do. Don't understand how you did it in John's life. And God, if we're truthful, we don't understand how you did it in our lives. That you could take a wretch like me and God provide light and salvation for eternity. Father, you are the Word. And that's all we want today. We want a word from you. We want your word in us. God, speak through us and to us. And know that we will be grateful and give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.